Well, let's come back to, I think we had skipped a little bit further, but to come back to page 52. And towards the middle of the page, Sachli Rabbi Simcha Zelig. Simcha Zelig was had been a Talmud. The Rebbe first time was Talmid of a Chaver of Reb Chaim. He had been a Talmud of Reb Chaim's in Brisk. And when the Beis Halevi was Nifter, shortly after the Tsarist government shut down the Lajan. In the timeline, as Hashkafa had things planned, it happened shortly thereafter, and then Reb Chaim was appointed to succeed his father as Rav of Brisk. I mean, the irony is, you know, that Reb Chaim revealed his derech, the derech of the Rishonim, to the world, you know, before he was Reb Chaim Brisk, when he was Reb Chaim Volozhin. But Reb Chaim Volozhin was a description that was already taken, you know, it was already copyrighted. So hence Reb Chaim Brisker. So when Reb Chaim was offered the avonus, he brought Reb Simcha Zelig again as dayan, and considered him an odom gadol ma'od. My brother Shami Komodomo commented that Simcha Zelig is the only contemporary mentioned in the Sefer, in the Chaim Sefer. He three times in the Sefer quotes Yedidi HaGrashaz of Simcha Zelig. HaGrashaz, I think maybe it says, I don't remember. So Sachli, that's what's referring to Talmido v'chaver of Reb Chaim. Shapam nichnas in Reb Chaim the base ploni almoni be'ir Vilna. Shem tina the balabayas sheyovo difdeif Reb Chaim v'sifre Chabad sheyim unochem al hashulchan. Mitov kovid rosh pana Reb Simcha Zelig v'amar shneihem shonim shogim. Excuse me, shogim. They both err. V'hashkafos sehim. Olam neva olam antuva olam al chaster olam an ritzono. A sefer don kaneh al bayazo ve'atik shtei deot l'man tuvo l'man chasdo. Hashkafa zo sheharambam kaval yesod mutzak b'sefer ma'anevuchim v'horoveches b'harbei tzurot b'hashkafa ha'voluntaristic v'metafizika u'vedat kama zo shel Shlomo Ibn Gabirol b'makor chayim v'shitato shel don skadis shehushpa lidei harishon. So, parenthetically, not parenthetically, the Rebbe said that Reb Chaim learned Ma'amar Nevuchim. This is just sort of one reflection of that fact, that Reb Chaim was. With ridiculous understatement, well versed in the Mora as well. This characterization of accepting the Rambam's understanding or highlighting the complete inability to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world as being the stamp of Isha Halacha reflects something that the famous concluding lines of the Rav's essay Halachic Mind, where he says, there he extends the this thesis even further, that out of the sources of halacha, one can reconstruct a philosophy. And this is one iteration of that, one instance of that. But the question is, earlier, that the Rav had contrasted the mystical approach. Again, in the footnote, he indicated that he was illustrating based on the concept of Tzimtzum in Chabad philosophy, not how Tzimtzum is understood in other strains of Kabbalah. So the Rav contrasted the approach and the outlook on the world that the Chabad understanding of Tzimtzum generates with that of the Isha Halacha. Bekitzer, oversimplifying, because that's the only way we can pretend to understand. So that Tzimtzum al-Pi Kabbalah approach says that the only way the world can exist, this physical world that we inhabit, the only way that can possibly exist is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is very much hidden and camouflaged and disguised. The mashal being that the same way, you know, if the light of the sun is blinding, if a person looks directly at the sun, right, that's why when it's deceptive and we think we can during an eclipse, you get all these warnings, you know, to be careful not to look at the sun because it can cause retinal damage. The person looks directly at the sun, so the light of the sun is so brilliant and so powerful that it would blind a person. So again, every mashal is inadequate and incomplete. But mashal adav adom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, when it's not hidden, doesn't allow, would simply negate the existence of our physical world. So the only way the world exists is through, again, this. Hidden with layers upon layers of camouflage, the hidden presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. That's what the Rav has quoted and outlined it in the footnotes he provides, the quotes from the Likutei Torah. Masha and Cain, he depicted, reading on the bottom of page 51 in the text, that ish, now what that then gives rise to is this sort of sorrowful attitude towards the Metzius, that this world is not the best place to be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is so hidden, and you know, to aspire to higher realms where the worlds are less physical, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence doesn't need to be hidden as much, is really where a person wants to be and would be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by contrast, the Rav presents that Isha Halacha Eino Bo'et B'Havaya B'Metziyut. He doesn't reject, as it were, this worldly existence. On the contrary, who kovei b'pashtot u'b'tmimut zaka b'sefer Bereishis v'yalukim as kol asher asa. I think it's a misprint, no? I think the pasuk is kol asher asa. V'hinei tov ma'od. Ein hu otza l'shtachvei min olam, v'ein hu yodeya klum al dvar ha'idiya shal shchinta v'galusa. So just to make explicit, so the Rav then correlates this positive attitude towards the world with the Rambam's understanding of the Man Ritzono, and correlates this, again, sorrowful approach, which gives rise to the desire to transcend, to the understanding of Leman Tuvu Leman Chasto. So how do those correlate? Why couldn't you say that Hakadosh Baruch Hu Leman Chasto created the world, and the world's a great place? What's the correlation? The question clear of us? So the chavra is as follows. What gives rise to this theory, understanding of the Leman Tuvu, or ultimately the Leman Chasto, it is a mindset that seeks to understand what lies behind the Bria. Now, if one can seek to understand that, so then Kal Vachomer, one can seek to understand the how of the Bria. How does the world exist, and how is it not negated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite existence? And that's what gives rise to the whole understanding of, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealing, as it were, his presence, the same way when you put on sunglasses, so then you can look at the sun and without being blinded, HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealing his presence. Masha'en Kain, the axiomatic mindset of the Man Ritzono says, no, we can't, the world is a fact, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is a fact, and we begin from there. So if that's the case, so then one also is not presuming to understand how it came about. It's a given, the Man Ritzono. It's something which lies beyond our capacity to understand the why and how. It's a given. As a given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed it, so kol ma'aseh avi rachmanu l'tava. There's no room to inject any kind of, this sorrowful attitude or approach. That's what the Rav wrote earlier on page 49. Ein sod ha-tzimtzum, the first paragraph that begins on page 49, we will say, Ein sod ha-tzimtzum b'halocha nogea b'she'elot kosmoganiyot. Cosmogony, the study of the genesis of the world, of the cosmos. V'ein ha-halacha usakit bin mistoriyot metafiziyot. Mistoriyot, sorry. V'ein ha-halacha usakit bin mistoriyot metafizit. The halacha isn't preoccupied with metaphysical mysteriousness. Ve'nado reshet b'mufla mimena b'nogeh li'yitzirat ha'havaya k'mo sh'asu ha'mekubalim. So that's what we were just explaining. That's where you get the connection between the Leman Tuvu, Leman Chasto, with the mindset, the approach, and the Leman Ritzono with the alternate approach. Okay, I think we had, we were holding around 54, 55 somewhere. So let's continue, maybe on, we'll continue. on page 55, towards the end of the paragraph, which is a carryover from 54, where Ma'amaro shel Galileo. You see that, Rebusa? On page 55. Ma'amaro shel Galileo, she sefer hateva כתוב באותיות של משולשים מרובעים, עיגולים, כדורים, רשעות, צורות, מתמטיות, חל גם על ההלכה. And Galileo said that, you know, that the book of nature is written in letters of triangles, squares, circles, etc. So that understanding is true of halacha also. V'lo l'chinam amah hagra li'ish shetergem et ha-geometria ha'avkalidit le'ivrit, Euclidean geometry, ki kishetachsar lo l'adam mida achat b'chokhmas ha-mathematika, tachsar lo eser yadot b'yidiyat ha-Torah. Ein zo rak militza yafa hameida al rochav dato shel hagon, ela emet kvua b'torat ha-hakara shel halacha. So the Rav here says pshat in that famous comment. I think the Pa'asa Shulchan is the one I think who records it. That the Gaon had said that for every measure of deficiency that a person has in mathematics, so there'll be that will translate tenfold into his understanding of Torah. So, you know, ordinarily that statement, you know, sort of Torah Madar Mar Makom, right? It's cited in context of the Gaon's appreciation for mathematics, and the Rav is clearly saying that if that were the extent of it, then it would be, I don't know, irresponsible, hyperbole. I mean, to say that for every measure one is missing, so then one's lacking tenfold in Yediyas HaTorah. How does that work? Okay, so if you know an approximation of pi, so it makes learning the first parak in Masechta Sukkah easier, and then there are other sugyas which are facilitated by some background in mathematics, but I mean, that doesn't add up to what the Gaon says, right? So apparently, what the Rav is suggesting is the following. Right, we know that that a crucial tool and stepping stone to understanding is to be able to use a mashal. And that helps us transpose, but not just transpose, and also elevate to understanding through the moshul, which is known to us and understood to us, so that helps us grasp something which previously what was unknown and was beyond our grasp. That's the significance of a moshul. So if mathematics is not only sort of a, I don't know, ancillary discipline, papiros l'chachma, but the moshal, as the Rav keeps coming back to it again and again and again, here through Arisha Halacha, but also provides a moshal for understanding how Halacha functions, so then you can understand what the Gaon said, right? Then already you can understand that, you know, the Gaon wasn't being hyperbolic in his statement. Hanatiya Yisodit, continuing here on, in the next paragraph on page 55, we'll say, Hanatiya Yisodit shal halacha hi lahachzir et ha'ichut shal ha-subjektiviyot ha-datit et tochen toda'at ish ha-dat ha-shotefet chish maher kegalei hayam v'hamitna geshet v'chof ha-realiyot v'nishveret v'kamluyot mutzakot v'kayamot והלכות נטועות כמסמרות אשר כל רוח לא תעקרן ממקומן. Right, the fundamental disposition, I don't think tendency is probably not a strong enough word. Usually we translate nitya as tendency. I'm not sure if that's strong enough in this context. Of halacha is to capture religious subjectivity, the content of the awareness of the homo religiosus, which, as long as it's in that subjective state, like waves that crash onto the shore. So once the wave, you know, reaches the shore, so then there's nothing left of the wave, as powerful as it was in its brief moment, that's how short-lived it is. So halacha translates that into stable, enduring quantities, into halachos which are firmly grounded and established, that are not undone. Again, just the flow in terms of how this flows from what the Rav has been explaining is as follows. Invariably, if the ultimate religious experience is by trying to transcend this world that we live in, so then it ends up being something very subjective. There is no objective kelim in this world to contain that kind of effort, desire, aspiration to transcend this world. But according to halacha, no, that kedusha is something that's recognized here. That means that halacha translates, again, the subjective yearning, the religious awareness, into quantitative, this worldly forms. Haratzon ha'elyon mishtakev bein b'ri'i ha'metziyot v'bein b'ri'i ha'alacha ha'idealet ha'idei shiurim u'midot. Again, just as mathematically one can translate qualitative experiences into quantitative equations, so too in halacha translates the subjective religious feeling and mindset into quantitative terms. The Rav is saying it in a very profound philosophical sense, on a sort of a more psychological Musa level. So there is a beautiful word from the Shem Yishmuel, the Sacher Chava Rebbe. He comments on the Gemara in Sota, that Rashi in the Parash on the Torah quotes, about the smichas ha-parshios between, in Parshas Naso, between the Parsha of Sota and the Parsha of Nazir. So Chazal say that haroes Sota v'kilkula is yazer asmu nayayim. So the Shem Yishmuel says, no, you would have thought adrab, you would have thought haroes, again, Chazal is assuming as a typology that what brought the Sota to sin so grievously was that she became intoxicated. So you see that the dangers of intoxication. So Haroah Sota V'Kukul Az Yazer Atzman Ayer. Should take another Nazirus that not to touch that he won't be able to touch a drop of wine. So the Shem Yisrael says, Adur Abba. Someone who's seen a sort of a kukula, he doesn't need another Nazirus, because he's seen firsthand what the devastating consequences can be from drinking and becoming intoxicated and losing control and self-discipline. For everyone who's never seen a sort of a kukula, so recommend it to them, but how do you recommend it to Rosh Hashanah? So the Shem Yisrael says, and again, it's sort of the psychological Musar parallel to the Rav's profound philosophical depiction. He says, no, Yoda Torah Sevdei Tushaladim. No matter how powerful an experience is, so at the time a person experiences it, so it seems that it's just so overwhelming that it doesn't need to be bolstered in any form or fashion. And you have to tell us of that, that's not true. That no matter how powerful an experience is, it wanes gradually until it wears off and there's nothing left. Oh, so Kamchazal may say Havar Sota V'Kulkula. Now, a person sees and understands so vividly, so deeply, the dangers and the devastation brought about by intoxication. So Yazar Atzman Hayayin. A person has to translate it into a Kabbalah, because once translated into that form, it will endure. Well, obviously, the takeaway from that is not to become a nazir, but short of becoming a nazir, that's what the Shem Yisrael intended. Ain't that the yud subjektivit kayemet? V'chol eila hashifot hanotot acharei ha-subjectification, the subjectification. Say that three times fast. Shal ha-maaseh ha-dati, ha-shalolot mu-chashiyut v'gashmiyut shal chayei ha-dat, u-machnisot et ha-adam le-olam mufshat v'zach, she-ein bo la-achil ro-shsi al anshei dat, yoshvim atrosem v'rashem v'nenem mechaviyatam ha-pnimit, מסערת רוחם השואף אל על, מכמיהותיהם התמירות, hidden, מגעגועיהם הנעלמים, ומכיסופיהם המסתוריים, סופן להיבטל. Again, the Rav intends it philosophically, the Shem Yisrael is a parallel. What the Rav is saying in let's just read a couple more lines. Kocha hastichi, maybe we'll come back to what that word means. Good luck finding it in the dictionary. Kocha hastichi shal hadat hatokeif al hadam umeshabdo v'kovsho. So without translating that well, the force of religion which subordinates a person, and again, in the positive sense, sholeit rak shehadat hidat mamashit, concrete dat chayim uchashiyim sheyesh bahem mara reyach umishush, dat shabasa v'dam magisha b'chol chushav orkav ve'evarav b'chol mahuto v'yeshuto, dat sensualit sheesh. Again, it's a misprint. They were so busy putting in yuds here, but they carried away and put in a yud here also. But שאש התאווה בא עמה במגע ומעשה על כל צעד ושעל, דתיות סובייקטיבית של עמדות וחניות, של אמוציות ואפקטים, ושל השקפות ושאיפות, אינה רואה סימן ברכה. What the Rav is saying is again, it's a remarkable thought. The that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. The Torah is designed to impact us. The Torah is designed to elevate us. The Torah is designed to guide and direct us. So there has to be a correlation between the religious life that the Torah provides and commands with the human reality of a person. And the same way, the Vayipar ba'apav nishmas chayim in us, notwithstanding that we live, we're physical, the neshama is associated with a guf, and we live in this physical world. So it can't be that again, in a physical world of which is concrete and tangible and sensual in terms of our senses. So it has to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, how can it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ideal system for us in this world doesn't mirror our reality in this world? Like every other line here, it's a profound thought. And that's the segue to the next paragraph. That Isha Lachal lo kibel et hara'at mara hanavuchim b'nogel l'piyutim shiras v'sishbachos. Tzei ulamad ma bikesh mara hanavuchim la'asas l'piyutei Yisrael. At least within Isha Halacha, I don't know, you have to check to make sure this is correct. At least with earlier, it's back on page 52. Hashkafa zar shaharambam kaval yisod mutzak b'sifra Maran Avuchim. So the Rambam doesn't just refer to Maran Avuchim, it refers to the Rambam in Maran Avuchim. And here he doesn't mention the Rambam. Meaning that within Isha Halacha, when the Rav is disagreeing with the Rambam, so then he doesn't mention the Rambam. The term Rambam, you know, suggests Rabbeinu HaGadol, you know, that who for close to 1,000 years Hashem Yipiv Onuchayim and Meim Avanashosim. So in this instance where he's saying differently, so he doesn't mention. Mentions the Maran Avuchim without invoking the name of the Rambam. Isha v'achal lo kibel Torah Maran Avuchim b'nogei l'piyutim shiras v'sishbachos. Tzei l'mad ma'bikesh Maran Avuchim lasos l'piyutei Yisrael v'lo k'mo shiasu ha'psoin be'emes asher himritzu b'shvachim v'harichu dvarim b'tfilos chibrun u'melitzos kibtzun v'yar b'heter ze etzal ha'mashorim v'ha'melitzim v'etzal mishu yachshav sh'os ashir u'ktsosim yesh ben min hashpus v'hefzid ha'dimyan. The Rambam wanted that tfilah should be more philosophically correct, not politically correct, but philosophically correct. So he was unabashedly critical of the types of anthropomorphism which you find in the Piyutim. Now, Isha Halacha obviously insists that one needs to understand that all these depictions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are anthropomorphic, and that is absolutely essential. But with that understanding, again, part of, again, this depiction of Halacha as a dat which is a dat mamashit, a dat sensualit, is that, again, with the that crucial understanding that these descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are anthropomorphisms, but halacha does allow for all these, for the types of piyutim that the Rambam was critical of. Afal pichein mitrapeket knesses Yisrael al dorda, using the imagery from Shir HaShirim, b'shir hayuchid v'hakavod, u'ksha hashchina karetzet lanu ayin, when it winks, mitov dimdumei chama shel ka'as, bevat zchog shel slicha u'mechila, on Yom Kippur, anu koshrim kesem malchus, l'rosh hatek yomim, ושעס רחם ועס רוצן ברגע עליאס נשומה ועס רומוס הנפש כשהווייסנו צמאה לכל חי וכל ישותנו נחשפת ואורגת אליו אנו מרבים בפיוטים ושירות לפעד זוכן לדבר what once characterized the Yom Kippur Seder Tfilah that we have the Yom Kippur Machzor that there are two main axes one is Vidui right 10 times And the other is all the piyutim, the shiros v'sishbachos. So the Rav is describing that latter axis. Ve'ein lanu mashkichim behido, the echo, shel ha-medrash ha-philosophia osek b'sheilat ha-toarim ha-shliliyim, ein ha-alacha choshashet ha-machshavot spekulativiyot v'hafshakot dakot min ha-dakot mitzad echad, ולרגשות סדומים לחוויות עמומות להפעלת להיפעלות להפעלות כהות לסובייקטיביות מתחמקת מצד אחר. היא קבעת דין ומשפט בישראל. It's getting late, so we'll skip to the paragraph HaHalachad on the top of page 57. HaHalacha rotza lahaviyah tadatiyut lidei objektifikatsia, objectification. Lo rak laidei hachnasat ha-maaseh ha-chitzoni v'ha-pu'ula ha-psychofizit la'olam hadat, ala gam laidei siduro shal ha-correlative ha-pnimi b'tchum ha-ruchani shal ha-adam. HaHalacha translates into objective norms, into Maisa HaMitzvah, subjective states, emotions, aspirations. Halacha kovat chukim umatzivat ziyunim hamashamshim ke'ein seker, I think it's pronounced, damn, b'fnei ha-zerem ha-subjektivi shel ish hadat ha-kvali הסוחף לפעמים במערבולתו את כל הווייתו של האדם רשויות מאוד פעלות. Again, the same way when you have a dam, so it controls, it regulates the flow of water. So Sahalocha does the same, again, for the subjective religiosity. Manda ame achad sover ki ein mitzvah svichas kavana klal klal. Rak kavana shal lotzeis shal leles es mahasa ha-mitzvah. So even though in the context where the Rishonim say this, it's like if you look for instance in the Talmid Ben Yonah, in the first paragraph of Masechas Brachos, it's one of the few answers on a teretz. So the Rav consistently presents it as did Reb Chaim, as whom the Rav quoted, as something which is not questionable. You know, that if a person has kavanah shel lotzeis, there's not in kind of the mitzvah. So the Rav used to quote a lashon from Reb Chaim, the original is in Yiddish, but the way it translates into English is you don't force feed a mitzvah. If a person is you know, shraying chai v'kayim, he doesn't want to be Yotze, you don't impose Ikeim a mitzvah on him. So, that would negate that the maisa mitzvah. Afilu mando amish mitzvah tzrichas kavana, einon is kukim le kavanot sodiot hamechuvanot kapei olam na'alam. We don't need esoteric kavanas, which are coordinated to, with some hidden dimension. Ela machshava pshuta ugliya lekayem b'maaseh zeh mitzvah ponus almonus. So note the definition of kavanah latzeis, right? The definition of kavanah latzeis, so Shulchan Aruch paskens that we hold mitzvah tzrichas kavanah. So really, any time before we do a mitzvah, we should stop and have kavanah. The Chayyadim says that b'di'eved, by most mitzvahs, so the kavanah is basically automatic in the following sense. I mean, there's no other reason to be putting on tefillin in the morning other than the fact that it's a mitzvah. And lav b'chdi, that the mitzvahs, the examples where the Gemara debates mitzvah tzrichas kavanah, are shofar, matzah, where there's a possible alternate interpretation of what one's doing. So a shofar, again, we generally don't see it even in a 10-piece band, but a shofar is a musical instrument. So there is such a thing as tokei l'shir. And matzah, a person is crackers, is food to eat. So there is an alternate understanding and of what one is doing. I don't know, people don't walk around with black boxes on their, you know, on their bicep and on their head. Okay, but the Chayyadim says that more, you know, b'di'evet, the Mishnah Berurah calls the Chayyadim, l'chatchila, a person should have this kavanah. So what is the kavanah that we're supposed to have? Again, how does the Rav define it? Machshava pshuta ugliya l'kayem b'maaseh zeh mitzvah ponus almonus. So it's interesting. The Rav doesn't say that a person should have kavanah latzeis, kavanah mitzvah, but a person should also be thinking the particular mitzvah, right? So hinani mechavein to be mekayem mitzvah hanachas tefillin. Hinani mechavein to, you know, the satir petzitzis, and to be mekayem the mitzvah of tzitzis. There is an interesting Rashi in Rosh Hashanah. I mean, admittedly, I don't know that this Rashi has analogs in the other sugyas of mitzvah tzrichas kavanah, but here in Rosh Hashanah Chavches, if you take a look at Rashi Dida Maschil Shekfa'u Parsiyim, so if you hold that the Gemara says that Sholchu Leila Avu Adishmul Kfa'u V'Ochal Matzah Yatzah. If a person was coerced into eating matzah, he's yotzei, and the Gemara explains it means kfa'u parsim. For whatever reason, the parsim coerced the person into eating matzah, meaning he's doing without kavanah latzeis. So notice how Rashi is going to explain what's missing, the kavanah that's missing when a person does it without that kavanah latzeis. Says Rashi, Shekfa'u parsim, but afogav shalom niskavein, lotzeis yidei chovas matzah, belel rishon shel Pesach. That's exactly what the definition that the Rav is giving here, that the kavanah lotzeis consists of machshava pshuta ugliya, totally exoteric. There's nothing mystical about the yached, or whatever the mystical kavanah is. Ela machshava pshuta ugliya lekayem b'maaseh zeh mitzvah ponus almonus. So the same way the halacha brings, well, let's read a little bit more. ובשעה שתילי תילים של כוונות וייחוד נאמו על ידי חכמי הסוד, they were piled up. המליחות את תודעתו של אדם לאלמן דלו הסגליה, איש הלכה איננו יודע שום דבר על תעלומות כאלו. Kavanas ha-mitzvah mofiyah b'alakha lo'or ha-objektiviyot v'ha-chukiyot. Gam ha-kavanah v'gam ha-ma'aseh hem me'atzvo shel tahalech ha-objektifikatsia. So the same way ha-alokha insists that again, spiritual impulse, subjective religious feelings have to be translated into concrete olam hazeh dikke actions. So the same true. The kavanah is on the same level. The kavanah is also within olam hazeh. So within olam hazeh, it's got nothing to do with the effect it's going to have on yudke vavke, the osios of yudke vavke, or any other mystical realities in olam hazeh. The kavanah olam hazeh is l'kayim b'masa zeh mitzvah ponas almonis. Again, as indicated in the footnote, quoting from the Nodav Yehuda, ubeguf dvarav shetzarech lahotzi mipev she'osa hakavana al piyasor v'mevi raya mireish zvachem kal v'chomer b'kavana satfila v'amitzvah she'yesh bo kama ikulei upshure v'kama chashash kitzot v'netiyos k'asher v'ini kolzer b'mofes pshita she'yesh levatel shelo yechav in klal. So just as it says that Chazal were afraid if a person would think about what the kavanas of the korbanos are, that he would make a mistake and think the wrong kavana and derail the hakravas hakorban. So how much more so is that true here? If the person in having mystical kavanas has their own kavanas, it can be avodah zaradik. Sheyesh ba kama ikule upshure v'kama chashash kitzutz v'netiyos. That's what kitzutz v'netiyos means, right? Literally, it means, you know, cutting down saplings, the things that are planted, but it means misunderstanding and therefore misapplying things in the realm of Sisrei Torah. Kasha Reino Kolzeh B'Mofes, Nefesh Chaim talks a lot about this also. This kind of misunderstanding in terms of having these kinds of kavanas, he spells it out more in detail. Pshita sheyesh levatel shelo yichav in klal, v'day she'osa ha-mitzvah l'shem mitzvah, v'chol dover shein bracha lefaneha, and he know igloma b'fi, hinen lido sedov zeh l'kayim mitzvahs bori. U'bozeh day, v'ein tzorach yoseh v'akavoni hivak perish ha-milos. Al-pi ha-vera zeh u'nargu kol gedole ha-halocha. So it's interesting that Yehuda says, "V'chol dover shein brach lefana, ani noig loma b'fi hinani osa dover zeh l'kayim mitzvahs bari." So the Abu Dram, Eder Rishonim talking about this as well, talks about why there's no birkas hamitzvah on Kriya Shema. And the Abu Dram explains very, very beautifully. He says that the role of a birkas hamitzvah is to get us to stop and pause for a moment before doing the mitzvah, and to do it as an act of Kabbalas Olmach HaShemayim, as an act of Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs, as an expression of Kabbalas Olmach HaShemayim, Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. Not that we should just do it sort of by rote. Problem is that we then say the Birkas HaMitzvah by rote also. Okay, so I mean, you know, when we're stubborn enough, we can mess up everything. But okay, that's not a kasha, obviously. So the Dram says, where the mitzvah itself consists of Kabbalas Olmach HaShemayim, so then the Birkas HaMitzvah is superfluous. So that's basically what the Yehuda is saying now, as where there's no Birkas HaMitzvah, so then I stop, and I say that hidden the Yosef Dov Zeh, the Kayim Mitzvah's boy, because that's the role of the Birkas HaMitzvah. Now the Yehuda is very much in the same vein as the as that of Udraham. Okay, so maybe next time we'll pick up with Maisib Abba Mori here in the bottom of page 57.